going to do the fun night at the end of February, but now because of everything getting pushed back a week, missing the missing this lesson last week, we're now looking at March 7th. So that's our plan.
March 7th?
Saturday, March 7th will be
March
7th. Yes. So that's what we're aiming for. We'll have, in terms of looking at our schedule, this week, obviously, we're out here together. Next week would be, we're in our classrooms going over the first section. And then you guys are at Excel. And then March 1st will be the second in-class time. And then the 7th, for everybody who's gotten enough points, we'll do another kind of hangout night at our house. And there's going to be guys there this time, right?
Hopefully.
Guys? Yes? Yes, there will be? Yeah. Josh? Yes? Come on now. Don't leave me hanging. I was like the only dude there. Me and five. So, let's, yeah. Do what you can to make that happen. I think some of you hopefully are a step ahead of the game for this one, having... Did you do kind of a study hall thing last week? All right, sweet. Hopefully that puts us a little ahead of the game and we can keep on going. Like we've said before, a lot of this is, especially this week, it's not earth-shattering. It's nothing that you guys haven't heard before, but the goal here is just a kind of a deeper understanding. This is what we're looking at today, is a lot of kind of the basics of the gospel, the basics of the work of Christ, of salvation, but the goal is to go beyond kind of your basic John 3:16 knowledge and just kind of look at the next level down, what's actually going on, and be able to just expand what you know, expand your understanding, and hopefully, ultimately, your appreciation of what the Lord has done for each of us. So we're going to do kind of like what I've done before. We'll probably would do a lot, so maybe throw in a couple sword drills, do a lot of looking up of verses, discussing, looking at things from different angles and from different areas of Scripture. So let's just look to the Lord here as we start, and then we'll jump in. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we can study it, we can dig into it. We pray for your guidance and wisdom now as we look into it, as we seek to learn more. We pray that ultimately it would lead us into a deeper relationship with you, a greater appreciation for what you have done for us, for the salvation that we each have. And we just again pray for your wisdom now as we look into your word. We pray these things in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. All right, so let me see. If you've already started going through the lessons, you'll probably recognize this first part. If you haven't started, pay close attention, because this is also like the exact same thing that's in the first section of your lesson book. So kind of some insider information. It's something that you could almost copy down and have your first question answered. So that's kind of cool. All right, we're going to start off. The whole goal today, we're looking at the work of Christ. In order to get a full understanding of the work of Christ, we're starting off with man's condition. So starting off looking over where we're at outside of Christ, so then we can fully understand what the work of Christ does and what it means to each of us. So we're starting off right here, Romans 3:10-12. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is no one who does good, no, not one. All right, I think to start with this, we will probably... maybe we'll just jump right in with some sword drill action. So we're going to look at... Okay, yeah, there we go. First little phrase we're looking at is there is none righteous. All right, so let's look at, so sword drill, here we go. We're going to get used to looking stuff up here. Where are we doing first? Matthew 5:48.
I know where that is.
So yeah. So I'll say it, you repeat it, and then I say go.
Do we have to stand when we find it?
Yes. Okay. Absolutely, then we know. Alright, then you're holding it up, yeah, by the spine. Yeah, what are you? Listen here, Tan. I see you. Alright. Matthew 5:48. Go!
Got it!
No! Oh,
he cheated.
I got it.
I think Amy was the first one up. That was close, though. Alright, go for it, Amy.
Matthew 5:48. But you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect.
All right, so what does that say about God's standard?
You have to be perfect as he's perfect.
Bingo. God's standard is perfect. And then we're going to look at Isaiah. So the next one, Isaiah 64:6.
Isaiah 64:6.
Go! Oh, man, Amy. All right. We'll let somebody else get it. All right, go for it.
We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like polluted garments. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind. Take us away. Take us away.
What does that say about us?
We're all unclean.
Bingo. So we have God's standard of perfection, and then we have us with all of our righteousness being as filthy rags. So all the good things we do, everything we try, yeah.
What was the reference? Was it 64:6?
That one was 64:6. Okay. Isaiah 64:6. So that's where we see none righteous. We try, man tries to do their good deeds, they try to do good, and that's, you know, equaled as, you know, a pile of dirty rags. So you think, for me, it's easy to think of, you know, the dirtiest rags I see, you know, after I've done like some car work, and you have greasy hands everywhere, you wipe your hands off, you clean up whatever you've been working on, and it's, you end up with a bunch of nasty looking rags, and that's what the Bible equates our good deeds to. So our none righteous, everything we try does not match up to God's standard of perfection that it mentions in Matthew. All right, next we're looking at there is no one who understands. All right, so let's go to Ephesians 4:17-18.
Ephesians 4:17-18.
Go! Let somebody up. Just try and spread the love here. Good job,
it's
though.
It's nice to have first.
You're too quick. You just gotta make sure everybody knows.
Yeah.
All right, go for it.
This I say, therefore, and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, get excluded from their life of God because of the ignorance that is in them because of the hardness of their heart.
Bingo. So they have man, so we're in a state of not being righteous, and then a state there. I'm emphasizing that man doesn't have understanding. So apart from the enlightening with the Holy Spirit, we are in a state of not understanding. So far it's continuing to not look good for us. All right, now next phrase. Oh, look at you. Way to be on top of it. I thought you were asking a question.
Oh.
You're good. I like it. All right, there is no one who seeks after God. John 6:44.
John 6:44.
Go.
Josh, you cheater!
Alright. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him on the last day.
Alright, so we have the Father received drawing people in, and in our own state doesn't always have that desire to seek after the Lord. All right, they've turned aside. Can anybody quote Isaiah 53:6? If I were to start it, I know you can quote it. Can anybody remember what it is with just the reference? All we
have sheep,
like sheep have gone astray.
What's next?
Every one to his own way.
And
the Lord has laid on him to be
with us all. Bingo, good job. Alright, so we see there we've all being in a state of having gone astray. We've gone our own ways. We have our own, apart from God, we have our own ideas on things, and it's not his ways. Alright, we have together become unprofitable. Let's do Bibles up. Ephesians 2, verse 1.
Ephesians 2, verse 1.
Go! All right, we'll let it over here since we have.
And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses.
Bingo. So we have us being in a spiritually dead state, to be in unprofitable. Useless is another word that other translations use. And our final one, there is none who does good, no, not one. All right, Titus 1:16.
Titus 1:16.
Go.
Well, after Timothy.
What? Oh, I didn't know it was the New Testament.
Wait, Titus 1 verse what?
1:16. Oh. All right, go ahead.
Josh, you're sorry.
Me?
Yeah, go for it.
Oh, hey, Josh. They profess to know God, but they deny him by their works. They are disobedient, unfit for any good work.
All right, so that there we have a good summary of where we're at as men, to as mankind. Again, as it says, there's none righteous, no one who understands, there's none who seek after God. They've all turned, we've all turned aside, become unprofitable, and there is no one who does good. So we have to see that every part of man has been tainted by sin. Doesn't mean that there's, you know, absolutely nothing pleasing in anybody, but everything has been tainted by sin. Our motives, our actions, our desires, apart from God, they have that sin. We have that sin in us that is drawing us away. We are, you know, the Bible describes us as being slaves to sin. So we're going to look at a little more on sin. We'll look at a couple different types of sin here. Let me see. Alright, so first type of sin we will look at, let's see, so this one, we'll keep on doing the sword drill style, it's working. Alright, for sin, the first one, let's go to Matthew 5:28.
Go!
Matthew, Mark, Luke, John.
Oh, wow, look at you guys. Go for it.
Okay.
No, it was me. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with
lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart.
Alright, so then there we have thought. There are sins that we can commit just by thinking. We have impure thoughts, and that kind of brings out the sinful side of the thoughts that we can have. Alright, now we got Colossians 3, verse 8.
Colossians 3, verse 8.
Go. Alright, let's hear it.
Alright. But now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth.
Alright, so we have in word or speech another kind of category of sin there. Alright, now I think everybody's one has read one. Is that right?
I have not.
You have not? Okay. All right. Well, you can just go ahead and take this one then. The next one we've got is 1 John 3:4.
1 John 3:4.
We'll just let her find it, and then we'll be back to first one up.
Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth.
That's a tough one.
Also the law, for sin is in the transgression of the law.
Alright, so we have in sins in deeds, they have sins of commission, things that we do and knowingly break God's law by what we do. And then our next one we'll look at is James 4:17. So everybody's back in on this one, right? James 4:17.
James 4:17.
Go. Ooh, bingo.
So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin.
Alright, we have sin of omission. If we know to do something, that's good. We know we're supposed to do something and we don't do it, that is a sin of omission. We have different types of sin, so we've kind of looked at where man stands, then we've looked at a little more of sin. And what does it mean to be... Let me see. Let me write that down. We have in John... I'll just read this one. In John 8:34, it says, Jesus answered to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin." What does it mean to be a slave of sin? What does that mean?
To be subject to it.
Yeah, to be subject to it.
Under its power.
Under its power, okay.
There's no getting out of it.
Yeah, if you're a slave to something, that's what's calling the shots. Whoever is above you, whoever you're enslaved to, whatever you're enslaved to, that is what determines what you do, when you do it, how you do it. So being enslaved to sin is, being subject to whatever its desires are. And then in Romans 5:6, it talks about, while we were helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. So we have, so far, we have us in that ungodly state. And now we'll get a little more into kind of where this lesson is, you know, where we're trying to focus in over the next couple weeks, going through your lesson books, is zeroing in on that work of Christ. So we have us where we are. We see us in a very helpless state, in our sin, needing a Savior, needing something to happen. And now we'll look a little more at the work of Christ. And this will be somewhat of a kind of a broad overview. And like I said, over the next couple weeks, as you're working through your lesson books, as we're discussing in class, this is what we'll be diving into a little more, is seeing what exactly the work of Christ is and what it means for each of us. All right, so the first aspect of the work of Christ is a need for a blood sacrifice. That is something it's spelled out throughout the Bible. We'll look at two verses here that show why there needs to be that blood sacrifice. So first one we'll look up is Hebrews, and if you need any of these repeated, just let me know. I know it might be kind of hard to take notes and do sword drills. So if you need me to slow down or repeat anything, just let me know. The first one is, where'd it go? Hebrews 9:22. Go! Amy. Man, you are... You got tabs or something over there?
No. Okay. Hebrews 9:22. In fact, according to the law of Moses, nearly everything was purified with blood. For without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness.
All right. Pretty straightforward. What is that? What is required for sin to be forgiven?
Blood.
Blood. Exactly. The Old Testament spells out, and it's repeated again in the New Testament. Let's look up. So our next one is from Leviticus 17:11.
Leviticus 17:11.
Hold on. A couple of people are writing down. Give them a sec. Anybody need any other verses repeated or anything?
Wait, what is it?
Leviticus 19:7.
No.
All right, we ready? Leviticus 17:11.
Leviticus 17:11.
Go. Oh man, I didn't even.
It was me.
For sure.
Yes.
For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to. I have given it for you on the altar to make anointment for your souls. For by the blood that makes anointment, by the blood.
Bingo. All right, so we see there's an Old Testament and then repeated again in the New Testament, the requirement of a blood sacrifice for the forgiving of sin. And we also see in Romans, of course, very well known that the wages of sin is death. The things that we have earned, what we have earned for our sin, is death, and we have that death requirement, that shedding of blood requirement for the forgiveness of sins. Alright, so that's the first part of the work of Christ, is that need. There's a blood sacrifice that was required. And we'll look at Christ's humiliation. So, all right, we'll start off here. Philippians 2:8.
Philippians 2:8.
Go. Have you read a second time?
No.
Oh, go. Yeah, you already read the second thing. All right, go for it, Josh.
And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross.
All right, so we see Christ's humility coming, leaving heaven, coming down to be that perfect sacrifice, and just humbling himself to the point of death on the cross. Alright. And then we have the crucifixion. We won't go through a lot on that, but there are a lot of different aspects to it. You can write down to read later Matthew 27:45-53. And there are a lot of supernatural things that happened throughout the crucifixion. That one, through that section there, it mentions this supernatural darkness, earthquakes, resurrections, the tearing of the veil in the tabernacle from top to bottom. So it's not something that men could have started. If they would have started it, it would have been bottom up where we could actually reach it. many supernatural things happening there connected with the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus.
What was that verse
again? Matthew 27, 45 through 53. So there's a lot of, and there's, many other things you can look through, the end of the Gospels that shows what happened at that crucifixion and kind of the big turning point in the work of Christ. And then also part of that we see the judgment at the cross. So we see Christ bearing our sins. He became sin for us. And I'm just going to... He put it really, really well here, I feel like. So I'm just going to read this section here. It said, even more profound is that God abandoned the Son at the time of Christ's sin-bearing. During the crucifixion is the only time that Christ addresses God as my God and not Father. This is the mystery of mysteries, as the Father forsakes the Son, leaving him utterly alone to bear out our sin in his body on the cross. This separation between the Father and the Son was a relational separation where the intimate fellowship between the Father and Son was broken. The Son could never be separated from the essence of the Trinity, for the triune God would cease to be. Christ remained God. The Trinity remained unbroken. Nevertheless, in a way our minds cannot fully comprehend, God the Father forsook God the Son as he laid upon Christ the iniquity of us all, abandoning him to bear the Father's righteous wrath against the sins of his people. There is a transaction there that we can't totally wrap our minds around in seeing the Lord Jesus bear our sins. All that we started off discussing there, looking at our state, looking at the sins that we were enslaved to, he bore those sins on our behalf. And he carried out that work of salvation. Our iniquities fell on him. He bore our sin and became sin for us. And then where are we at? We're almost done. All right. And then we'll look at the provisions of Christ's work. So what we get as a result, and what it means to us. So we have first, a big point is we are now reconciled to God. We're brought back into that close fellowship with God. Romans 5:10 says, "For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. Having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." So we can rejoice. We can, in that reconciliation that we have through the work of the Lord Jesus. And then we have Jesus Christ being the answer to all men's problems. There's a pretty cool chart in your lesson book that goes through. And it kind of gives a whole list of man's problems and how the Lord Jesus solved them in the scripture that supports that. So you can dive into that, look up those on your own a little more as well, just to see what exactly the Lord Jesus did for us, how his work...
What was the last reference you read for reconciled to God?
That was Romans 5:10. All right. And then, of course, and then kind of our last thing here, we don't want to leave without mentioning his resurrection. So, kind of the ultimate resolution of his work on the cross. And we see the power of his resurrection and the necessity. We'll read First Corinthians. Let's see here. 1 Corinthians 15:13. I'll read that as we kind of close here. 1 Corinthians 15, Well, that's not right. 15, 13 through 12. That's going backwards. All right. 12, 1 Corinthians 15, 12, and 13. It says, "Now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some of you say that there's no resurrection of the dead? But if there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and also your faith is also empty." So without that resurrection, it is, you know, our faith, the work is empty. So we know that's kind of proof of the success of our reconciliation is in his resurrection. Alright, so there's kind of a brief overview of what you'll be looking at over the next couple weeks as you just make sure, keep on studying those things on your own. Hopefully you're on with the extra time last week. You're a little bit ahead of the game as it comes to those lesson sheets. Keep working through, like you said, you know, the more that you put into it, the more you'll get out. And we want to have kind of a deeper understanding, a deeper knowledge of what it is that is, you know, some of the basic things that maybe you've known for a long time, and with the goal of not just building up head knowledge, but deepening each of our relationships with the Lord as we understand more of who we are and of what he has done for us. So let's go ahead and close in prayer, and we'll be all done. Our Father, we thank you for the work of the Lord Jesus. We thank you for our salvation, for our reconciliation to you. We thank you that we can enjoy that close fellowship with you once again, that we can have a relationship with you through the Lord Jesus and his work on the cross for us. We pray that you would help each of us to spend time further studying this. We just ask for your blessing on the studies and our time in our classes the next few weeks. We pray these things in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.